Today's reading is from John chapter 16, verses 5 to 15. Jesus teaches about the Holy Spirit. But now I am going away to the one who sent me, and not one of you is asking where I am going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. There is so much more that I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said, the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me.
Thank you so much for that reading. Can we pray? Father, I want to thank you for the promise of the Spirit. Jesus, I want to thank you that you gave the Spirit. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you didn't leave us alone, that you, as orphans, that you came, and that we are empowered from you, by you. And I thank you that we can walk in the Spirit, that we can walk in step with you. And I pray even this morning that you would minister to your people, and that you would touch hearts, and that you would open hearts, and that you would speak truth, and even that truth would bring freedom. And I pray this in your precious name. Amen. Can you imagine? It is to your advantage that I go away. What would the disciples' reaction have been? No ways. No. It's like, here we are, and things are going great. We enjoy your presence and seeing you work in power and miracles, and now you're saying you're going to change the spiritual climate. And that could have been quite a shock. You see, while Jesus was on earth, he could only be in one place at one time. And the Holy Spirit would carry on Jesus' ministry over the entire world for all times. And here's a thought for Pentecost Sunday. What if the Holy Spirit had never come into the world? What if we had to depend on the facts of the gospel, such as Christ's birth, Christ's death, Christ's resurrection, without having someone or something set those facts on fire in our hearts? You see, we only have to look at the disciples prior to Pentecost to see what kind of faith that we might have. A faith that stays in lockdown beside or behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. A faith that would have been perhaps sweating bricks in fear. You know, I'm in a bit of lockdown here. I've got the door closed and the windows closed to contain the noise. And they would have had that. They would have been under lockdown. They would have been in fear. And what's happening? Who's going to arrest us? Who's going to drag us off? But thankfully, the Holy Spirit came into the world to set our faith on fire. You see, the Holy Spirit exploded onto the scene, and the world's never been the same. You see, the book of Acts isn't about the acts of the apostles. It's about the acts of the Holy Spirit through those who were filled with the indwelling of the presence and power of God. God's people praying, and then the presence of the promised Holy Spirit, and then God's explosive power. The Old Testament promise of the Holy Spirit, or the coming of the Holy Spirit, has been fulfilled. If the promise had never been given and the Holy Spirit had not come, then no doubt we would be sitting behind closed doors for fear of the outside world, that would be in a perpetual state of lockdown, heaven forbid. What locked doors or mental blocks does Jesus need to remove in your life? You see, we need a revelation of the resurrected Christ who's triumphed over death. In the words of the song, death could not hold you, the veil tore before you, and you silenced the boast of sin and the grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you raised to life again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let this time be our upper room. May we experience on this Pentecost Sunday a fresh touch from the Spirit. You see, God wants to clothe us with power from on high, to give us a Holy Ghost boldness to be seed-sowing gospel carriers. It's not so much our words as it is He who wants to convict the world of guilt with regards to sin and righteousness and judgment to come. Why? Because they do not believe in Jesus, the sent one. The sin of unbelief seems to be a greater sin. People put their trust in themselves, in a God of their own making or choosing. This week I met an Albanian who's working not too far from the church, and he says, yes, he believes in God, but he also believes in evolution, and he's got his own thoughts about God. You see, that's the idea. People fashion a God in their own making. So I said to him, but look at your fingerprint. Nobody's got your fingerprint in more than 8 billion people on the planet. Nobody's got your retina. Nobody's got your DNA. There's an intelligent design of a wonderful creator. And you are a product of that. So I've left him a 4 points tract, and we've had some ongoing conversations, and I trust God's softening his heart, and he's beginning to even ask the reality of God, the personal reality of God. You see, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth that wants to lead into all truth. And there's a God who's made you and who wants us to be accountable to him and give an answer for the life we've lived and what we've done for the sacrifice of his son for us. He knows and he shows us things to come. Evidence of the full deity of the Holy Spirit is that he will bring glory to Jesus. A little bit of background to Pentecost when we celebrate this in the church calendar today. You see, after the resurrection, for a period of 40 days, Jesus presented himself alive to the apostles and whom he had chosen. He said, as the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. And he breathed on them and he sent them with that authority and with the Holy Spirit. But you see, he said also, wait in Jerusalem till you've been clothed with power from on high, the fullness of the Spirit. In Luke 24:49, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. In other words, don't go. You're not ready. You're ill prepared. Don't go anywhere. Don't do anything until you've been clothed with power from on high. That's a supernatural enabling. You see, the promise was for them and for all. Power to be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The precious promises for all God's people living according to and even according to the prophet Joel. It's like this abundant life-giving rains being poured out. The outpouring of the Spirit on sons and daughters, that they would prophesy, that old men would dream dreams, that young men would see visions. The promise was not just for a select few, but for all sons and daughters, young and old, male and female. And then on Pentecost, 50 days after Passover, the 120 gathered in the upper room, praying for the promise. And Acts 2, verse 2 to 4. And suddenly, don't you love the suddenlies of God? Suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Jesus had compared the Holy Spirit's work to the wind, where the Holy Spirit is coming in increased power. And then he also as a fire, described it as a fire. You know, the fire in the Old Testament depicts the presence of God. God is described as a consuming fire, a refiner's fire, especially in his burning holiness and purity, consuming everything that's impure. Divided tongues as of fire. They therefore portray both the purity and the power of the speech of these disciples as they proclaim the mighty works of God, as well as the holy presence of God. And they were all filled with the Spirit. And this is the fulfillment of what Jesus promised. So the Spirit came in a new, more powerful way, signifying a new covenant age. And so at Pentecost, 50 days after Easter, we celebrate the reversal of the curse of Babel. You know, when they tried to, in their own strength, gather and accomplish things in their own power, and they were scattered in languages, through different languages. And now in Pentecost, we see them being drawn, that people from various parts and various languages are drawn together. And then we see also the birthing of the body of Christ, the church, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the daughters and sons of God for the purpose of mission and a sowing, going gospel. Isn't that powerful? You see, the full work of Jesus, the dying and rising, aim to see the baptizing with the Holy Spirit and with fire, and his people refined by the indwelling Spirit. God did not leave us alone. He promised he would not leave us as orphans. The great helper has come. Hallelujah. And in Luke 3, verse 16 to 17, you see, John the Baptist answered those questions regarding whether he was the Christ by saying the following: I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, and the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. You see, John is speaking here of Jesus, the giver of the Holy Spirit, the baptizer with the Holy Spirit and fire. For some, this will be the purifying fire of the Holy Spirit in a positive personal Pentecost. And for others, this would be a negative divine judgment of fire. See, the judgment, or the Holy Spirit, is a spirit of fire. Jesus said, I've come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were kindled. There's no escaping fire. Fire comes quickly and it draws attention. You see, when the Holy Spirit came in the upper room, how did he come? Did he come as a dove? When Jesus received the Spirit in the River Jordan, the baptism of the Spirit, there was nothing in him to purify. That's why the Spirit came as a dove. But he comes to us in fire because we need purification. And William Booth, who was the founder of the Salvation Army, he had a great passion for souls, as a great soul winner, from the guttermost to the uttermost, to the ends of the earth. He loved to see people reached outside of the norm. He penned these words in this great hymn: Thou Christ of burning, cleansing fire, or flame, send the fire. Thou blood-bought gift today we claim, send the fire. Look down and see this waiting host. Give us the promised Holy Ghost. We want another Pentecost. Make our weak hearts strong and brave. Send the fire. To live a dying world to save, send the fire. O see us on thine altar, lay our lives, our all this very day. To crown the offering now we pray, send the fire. More than words, let them be our prayer and our petition. You see, the following video has been shared millions of times on social media and YouTube. It's out of an outside brazier and with a chimney flume. And what's happening is this guy's cleaning up the yard and he's put some leaves in and he lights those leaves and then he uses a leaf blower to really get it starts off with just smoke. He said, and the caption is how to make a volcano. And so once it's lit, man, it just turns into something of a fire. God wants to light the fire. God's wanting to fan into flame. Let this speak to you. Send the fire, Lord. Let the fire fall. Let the wind blow, the wind of the Spirit blow, and let God's glory come down. And friends, there was a prophetic word when the church was birthed some time ago in 1998. Eldridge Engelsman came out from South Africa and he shared the following word. He said he saw a refreshing wind blown to the bare fireplaces of the houses. The fireplaces came alight. Warmth came from them, and the people in the houses gathered around the fires for warmth. They danced and celebrated and ate in front of the fires. This moved from house to house, from one house to another. And then the people from each house brought shovels full of hot coals to a central place, and full of those hot coals to make piles of coals. And he said, Gateway will become a place of fire and warmth for the people outside, bringing life, warmth, and hope to the city. Another picture I want to share with you is tied into a dream I had this week. I dreamt of a big pool pump house with electric pumps and mechanical things, and it was in danger of the machinery being flooded, and eventually the water overwhelmed the machinery and flooded this pump house and all the electrical and other components. And I felt the interpretation was sometime we've tried in our best efforts for God's to move. And God's wanting, he's saying out of Zechariah 4 verse 6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord God Almighty. And he's calling us to seek him and his spirit. And the Isaiah 44 verse 3 scripture brought to mind, for I'll pour water on thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I'll pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. And then Isaiah 41 verse 18, I'll make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within the valleys. I'll turn the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into springs. And Duncan Campbell of the Hebridean Revival in this nation said, to impact communities, we don't need churches filled with people. We need people filled with God. God wants to meet with us. God wants to immerse us. God says that Jesus' words were that out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water, not trickles, not little streams, but rivers of living water. And it's a cry, God, spring up within our soul, spring up and give us that life abundantly. You see, God is faithful. He will do what he's promised. And he's a giver of good gifts. And there's a geyser in Yosemite National Park. And seeing something visual makes a mark. We've seen a fire being fanned into flame. Now watch Old Faithful. That's the name of the geyser. Old Faithful gush forth. And the question being, how thirsty are you? Can you imagine just stepping into that? And wow, let's watch this. Is the Holy Spirit, and what is his work? You see, the Parakletos is the word in the original Greek, is the one of a little a pilot boat that would come alongside a larger vessel and usher that vessel into safe harbor, or usher that vessel out of a safe harbor. And it means a helper, the one who comes alongside, an encourager, or an advocate, the one who comes to our defense and protects us from harm, and our comforter, our counselor, the one who's the spirit of truth that leads us to all truth and guides us into truth. And so as we heard in the reading this morning, the one who convicts us of guilt with regards to sin and righteousness and judgment to come. You see, the regeneration is the work of the Spirit. We're born again by the Spirit, and we need to be made more and more like Jesus by the Spirit That's a work of sanctification. And the Holy Spirit is divine. And the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He's called God. And he has the attributes of God, being all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere. And Billy Graham said the following, and I quote, "The Father is the source of the blessing. The Son is the channel of the blessing. And it is through the Holy Spirit at work in us that all truth becomes living and operative in our lives. Friends, don't grieve or quench the Spirit by deafening your ear or hardening your heart. The Spirit is wanting to get a hold of us afresh and anew. He wants to access our lives again. He wants to open us and break open the fallow ground, because it's time to seek the Lord. The hardened soil, he wants to turn it over in our hearts, because it's time. He wants to pour out his love into our hearts by the Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is given that we might know love, that we might know him, that we might serve the Father and the Son better. And the person of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of glory, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of judgment, the Spirit of sonship, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of promise, the Spirit of revelation, and the Spirit of prophecy. He's described as the wind, powerful and sovereign. He's described as the fire, refining and even destroying. He's described as the water, cleansing and sustaining. He's described as the oil, anointing and healing. He's described as the dove, peace and gentleness. And friends, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is also a description of his nature. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness and goodness and self-control. God's wanting more for us. There's more to receive, more to walk in. And when I declared my love to Bibi at the altar nearly 25 years ago now, there was so much more to experience together. We embarked on a lifetime of discovery. I began to learn her love language. I began to learn what fills her love tank and be intuitive as to what her needs were. And our love matured and it deepened. And even... we've learned to fill each other's love tank, and we see we can't be the same old, same old. We can't settle for that. There's more. And to help us understand in terms of the fullness of the Spirit, there are two terms. The one is the initial infilling, and that's the baptism of the Spirit. And secondly, the subsequent ongoing infilling. Present continuous tense, be continuously filled. Maybe you've been baptized, but you're no longer full. And the question to ask is, how much of me does the Holy Spirit have? Not a once or forever. Why? Because we leak. So friends, there's one, the promise. God will pour out his Spirit on all flesh, Joel 2. Secondly, there's the fulfillment. Acts 2, they were all filled. They were all spoken tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then thirdly, the purpose. Acts 1:8, that we would receive power to be witnesses. And then Jude 20, they were edified and built up in faith. Jesus is our baptizer. One, you can be filled. If you're born again, if you've trusted in his sacrifice on the cross, his blood, for your forgiveness of sin, for your cleansing, then you can be filled. Then you can be forgiven. If you can receive his love and grace, you can receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And secondly, you must want to be filled. Not just you can be filled, but you must want to be filled. John 7 is an invitation to the thirsty. Come and drink. To him that is thirsty, come. To all that are thirsty. You see, there can be some hindrances. Unwillingness to yield, surrender, to come. Secondly, not recognizing our desperate need, our self-sufficiency. That's why in the Beatitudes, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs will be the kingdom of heaven. They recognize their need. Examine yourself. A.W. Tozer said, Christians without the Holy Spirit are like the Israelites wandering around the desert without the cloud or the fire. See, filled with the Spirit, there's a protection, there's a covering, there's a protection, but also a leading and a guiding and the warmth and the love that we so desperately need. And then we need not only to say, yes, you can be filled, yes, I want to be filled, but I need to ask to be filled. Whoever seeks will find. Whoever asks will receive. Whoever knocks, the door will be opened. We receive not because we ask not. You see, my dad got a loan and he pressed in on God and he closed that toilet cubicle door and he got down on his knees and he was filled with the Spirit and never to be the same again. And for me, I went into a field and I got alone with God, with this guy who invited me to pray and just said, if you want to receive the Spirit and be able to pray in the Spirit, when you ask, and I did that. And I was clothed with power and God's presence and God's Spirit and able to speak in other tongues. And as I finish, Genesis 26, in the valley of Gerar, Isaac, he reopened the wells that the Philistines, the enemy of Israel, had stopped up. What stopped you? What stopped up your well? What rocks do you need to be released from? Friends, there are hindrances, rejection, a sense of unworthiness, being disqualified. Maybe you're feeling condemned, even possibly a indifference, maybe disappointment, or there can also be resentment and anger that gets in the way. And most often, even bitterness and unforgiveness is a big stumbling block for so many people where they're holding on to records of wrongs. And fear. Can I trust? But God's a giver of good gifts. The Word of God tells us that. We can trust Him. He's a good, good Father. And He gives good gifts. So whatever's got a hold of you, whatever's blocked up that well, and even things that get in the way like pride and lust and other loves, love for money and any sin, any compromise. James 4:7, submit to God, resist the enemy and he will flee. The Holy Spirit wants to uproot. He wants to release you. And the Word of God promises us, well, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. God wants to push fresh fire, friends. God wants to pour out His Spirit upon you. God wants to, you can see there's a lavish love here. He wants to fill you to overflowing more and more and more. He wants to drench you. He wants to fill you. He wants to pour out His love upon you. Can we pray? God, impress upon us today what Spirit, I'm prepared to be a fool for you, Lord. I'm prepared to demonstrate that which you want to pour out upon us this morning. Do it afresh, Lord. Do it anew. Let your fire fall. Let your wind blow. Let your rivers flow. Let your glory come down. Oh, God, we want to acknowledge you and we want to honor you and we want to welcome you. We want to say we're thirsty, Lord. Pour out your Spirit upon us. We want more. Send the fire. Send the Spirit in increasing measure upon our lives. Fill us, Lord. There's more. We've got more to receive and you've got more to give. And we thank you for that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.